Welcome to the Beauty Business Podcast. I am Michael Yost, joined by Christy Hardy. Christy, how are you?
Terrific. How are you today,
Michael? Awesome. Awesome. So we also have a special guest with us today. Wafea, how are you?
Woo. Hi, Wafea.
Hey, y'all. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. For those that are not familiar, while we are very familiar with you, I always love to have any guests that we have introduce themselves. So why don't you just give us just a brief introduction of yourself and your business and just an overview for anyone listening.
Okay. My name is Wafea Abdallah. I own Curly Oasis, Inc. in Rockville, Maryland. It is a curly hair salon. I've been with Strategies since 2005 when we first opened, using the team-based system, which I'm a big fan of. And I'm super excited to be here.
Awesome. So one of the things that we want to talk about today is the overarching theme today that I want to discuss is around productivity, because you are our current reigning champion when it comes to team-based awards on productivity. So, you know, that came with a really cool, bit of hardware. It comes with a really a recognition of a lot of really hard work on your end. But as we were talking about it, it also came with some things that you might not always expect that happens along life's journey and the journey of a business owner that I think many people can relate to. So talk to me about that idea of productivity, winning the award, you know, what that was like, what it took to kind of get there, but then also kind of what happened, you know, to kind of set the table, what happened in the time between then and now?
Well, you know, our productivity, I think, is based on the gift of curly hair. Very few salons specialize and really understand the art of curl. And we are deep into it. We are booked out for months ahead. And also really learning to use our time wisely. When we're that busy, we can't allow the communication to slip away. We need to stay efficient in our systems so that we can maximize our productivity, but also not lose sight of our functionality as a team. And so it was a wonderful celebration to win the Productivity of the Year Award at this last conference with Strategies. And I teasingly say, I'm not going to go for an award again, because sometimes you win an award and I feel like the universe says, oh, you want to be award worthy? Let's give you a challenge so that you can level up. So what happened after that is I went to Egypt. I led a group to Egypt, my motherland, and really left the team in great shape. The time that I was away, I stayed very connected. I met with each person via Zoom individually to support. I was in contact with guest care pretty much daily. I felt that this person needed that kind of support. And when I came back, I had my guest care 2 days later decide to leave the company. I so did not see that coming. And then very shortly after that, another leader in the company also decided to move on.
Oh, wow.
And so I thought to myself, okay, great for productivity. Who won employee retention? Let me reach out to that person. And I did. And, you know, when you're going, I really say that this time of transition was gut-wrenching, because we were really close, had a lot of love and connection. You know, I thought, I really felt I had my finger on the pulse of the company. And when something like that happens, it's painful. And I immediately thought to myself, you know, is this really happening against me or for me? Is it for the company or against the company? And had to really get introspective and try to not beat myself up too much, because I think as leaders, that's what we do. And the whole saying, people quit leaders, not companies, where did I fail? Where was I unaware? And once, you know, as I was going through my pity party, I thought, and opportunity for growth. And I really appreciated what someone said to me is that they read in a book by very successful business people. I don't remember the book. I remember the lesson. And that is the people who get you from 0 to 100 won't necessarily be the same people who get you from 100 to 1,000 and won't be the same people who get you from 1,000 to 10,000. And I know I'm using small numbers here, but you get my gist. And I thought, okay, perhaps then this is the cycle of a growth of a company, that this is what needs to happen to have that leveling up. And so I'd really love to share some of what Christy Newell, who won employee retention, shared with me. Okay. So when I reached out, the first thing she said is, you know, my company didn't really get to the place that it is until I loosened my grip a little bit. And I thought, I've been loosening my grip. How much more can I loosen? But I listened and I appreciated that. And then she said, you know, this younger workforce, they just need to be heard. They're going to say all kinds of crazy stuff, or, you know, maybe not so crazy stuff, but ultimately they really just want to be heard. And I thought, okay, that's something I've been working on to improve. Okay. And then she said, you know, some people have families or whatever. They want it to be part-time. And I thought to myself, what difference does it make as long as the hours are covered for the company? Now, I was always under the impression of part-time employee means part-time performance. And she said she really hasn't found that when she was able to meet the needs of people around scheduling, that people did show up 100%. And so I really appreciated that. And with what happened next, I remembered those words. And they really did, were very useful in what happened next.
So, Wafei, I want to jump back. You know, something you said is you brought up three or four things that kind of trigger questions in my brain. And I want to jump back to something you shared, you know, that was passed along to you from Christy. And again, you mentioned the idea that about people just want to be heard. You know, team members want to be heard. How did that, what's that look like in your company? What did you take from that, I guess? And how is that starting to kind of show up in your company? Because when I think about that, I can think about maybe 5 or 6 different ways that, okay, I would interpret and go, oh, when I say, hey, listen, you know, I feel as though I'm being heard, I got a few things in my brain that I think about. But how is that showing up for you now in a different way than maybe it was? And what's that mean in your culture and in your environment?
You know, this concept of deep listening, and I did also at some point reach out to Bruce Horrigan, who's on the strategies team, who's, I think, an excellent listener, and he talked about the concept of deep listening. What I understood and what I've learned is just because someone says something doesn't mean there's not more behind it. Often, you know, when your team members have a high regard for the leader, they can maybe unknowingly or knowingly say things because they think that's what you want to hear. When we were going through this shift, of course, now I've got some team members that are going through it with me, and I understood that I had to really hold space for them. And, you know, a couple of people really struggled with change. It wasn't anything more than change. And like I said, we were so close, I could see how that would be difficult for them. So I kept meeting with them. And each time I met, I simply would ask, tell me what's showing up for you today, or tell me how you feel about this transition. And they were honest. Some of it was hard to hear. And yet I promised myself that I would say nothing, that I would only listen. And of course, when people are speaking on a deeper level, there's some emotion involved. And so it can be messy. And so it was great because it was a period of days. And so I was able to sit with the information that I heard and sift through what I could release, the emotional piece, and what I could take away. And I really kept meeting with them. I didn't stop. In fact, a couple of other team members were like, man, there's so much change. We're not sure we even want to stick around, you know, but they hadn't made any move. They were just trying to give me fair warning, which I appreciated. And as we kept talking and I kept listening, what came out of it is, so we had this 5-day work week with Tuesday being a half day of team development, and it worked great. It was needed. We'd meditate, do yoga, did a lot of stuff around how we're showing up as individuals. And as they were saying this, I thought, well, gosh, to heck with it. I'm just going to take Tuesday to train the new team members, and y'all are skill certified. I can work with training as we go with you while you're here for the time that you're here. Take Tuesday off. Just come in for the 4 days. Well, my gosh, within a week, apparently that was the magic pill. What I heard is a 4-day work week is hard to beat. We're no longer looking anywhere else. We love it. And, you know, I did it because I was just like, I'm done. But wow. And then, you know, for a long time, we were going toward a 4-day work week anyway. In my mind, we needed to have pieces in place, a certain amount of people before we could transition to that. What came to pass is, oh, well, what if we need to make that change in order to grow the team in a better and more efficient way? And that is such a selling point that once you're skill certified, you go to a 4-day work week. Now we have more people applying, more people engaged and you know, through the application and hiring process, loving it. And this is a sign of the times. This is what this workforce is asking for. And we could, you know, I did get there by listening, but the resolution wasn't anything that I intentionally planned. It just kind of came up. And really allowing, so back to the listening piece, I mean, sometimes people say things where you want to explain or defend. And I would just say, don't. Listen, just listen and ask more questions. And one of the things I did, you know, I told you I remain a student. And for Black Friday, I saw something on a platform that I am involved in for education purposes. And it was a life coaching program. And I thought, well, I need to do that. And it was a significant amount off. And what I've gotten from this life coaching is really how to ask the right questions. And even, you know, you can challenge when somebody says in a way of, are you sure this is 100% true? Where did that belief come from? But really ask, just learning to ask the right questions. And wow, is it a game changer for me as a leader? It is, it helps me separate my emotions, my ego, and really be present for that person. And as I'm listening, what I'm thinking about is more questions to get clear what exactly they're trying to tell me.
That's excellent. So really, Wafea, what you're saying is productivity has nothing to do with an action. It has everything to do with behaviors and truly listening.
100%. But I'll tell you, our numbers have shifted in this time. I mean, we just hit goal and I think we exceeded it by several thousand dollars in February. Awesome. Where people right. were sick and we had 2 snow days. So yes, behaviors drive the numbers. Behaviors drive the productivity. Behaviors drive everything in a business. And yeah, when people are heard and are happier, they're going to show up better.
That's an incredible story, Wafea.
So I'm going to, you know, I want to touch back and you kind of just touched on it, Wafea. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, probably wondering, all right, you cut back to, since we said the theme of this is based around productivity, cutting back to a 4-day week, you know, we could probably make some assumptions and say, all right, those days probably got busier, but at the same time, cutting back hours. Give me a little bit of the nuts and the bolts behind, like, what is that looking like as far as when it comes to just your productivity itself? Was it a real shift in the amount of hours you had for sale? Or we just kind of restructured, you know, 4-day week and we found there wasn't much shift in what we had, what we were offering for sale. Give me a little bit more of that, like, again, more of that nuts and bolts of as you made these changes in, you know, your work week and all of that. We can definitely sense the change in culture, the change in just, you know, that whole side of it, which I love. But what was the change on the other side? Again, just a number side of it, the business side of it. What's that balance between that, you know, work-life balance and what, however you want to say it. But what's that look like from a work standpoint?
Gotcha. Well, you know, I prefer the term work-life harmony because that's ultimately what we're seeking. And we were already seeing clients 4 days a week. That fifth day was about team development, skill certification. So that didn't change. And we got busier in the sense because now I've got this day devoted to training new staff members, which is now more efficient because not having to balance, okay, well, I have to train this person who's further along in the journey and this person who's brand new. I can just focus on the new staff. And so I can get them skill certified in services faster. And so that was part of the increase. And that's how we were already booked for months ahead. We're right now booking in June. And so, there was no wiggle room to be more productive. We simply were able to show up better for the hours we had for sale and then train new staff so that they could also offer whatever service they're skill certified for. So we're able to train a little faster because I'm just able to focus on them on Tuesday. And so we didn't need to change the hours for the existing staff. We simply just said, okay, come in the days that you're serving clients. Now, when we have meetings, of course, that has to be on a Tuesday, because come on, give me a break. we're already at a 32-hour work week. And they appreciate that. They're like, of course, absolutely. So once a month on Tuesday, they're here for 4 days. And that's when we can do some, you know, skill development, have our meeting. If we are doing some kind of personal development, we can do it now once a month on that day. And of course, looking ahead at holidays, the 4th of July, I believe, is on a Thursday. So I said, guys, we need to make this work. So can we switch those hours to Tuesday and you're still getting a 4-day work week? And again, of course, they agreed to that. And so it's making sure and keeping the grip on the hours for sale and not just like, oh, well, we don't work Tuesday and we have a holiday off. I mean, there has to be some give and take, and they understand that. They're just really happy to have the time. And I get it. You know what? Man, if the younger me and even me now, a 4-day work week's great. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? I mean, we don't have to criticize this generation. We need to really learn how to be effective in embracing what they hold to be true in their world and figure out how to make it work. And, you know, Christy Noel was just such a godsend because, and I love using the Greater Strategies community to reach out to other owners and say, help, what have you figured out? You know, right. And I've really enjoyed our exchanges. And she's so right. She's like, I have a Google Calendar. They want to do this. I just need to make it work for the company. And by the way, it makes great sense because now we're able to, let's just say you have a team of four, you're able to add another person and not increase your payroll because they went to a 4-day work week. Now we're able to have another person and it doesn't change that. So it's very efficient financially as well. That's pretty cool.
It's really, you know, I love the, you know, how you kind of brought that all together is, you know, for someone that's listening, it's like, how can this really start to work itself out? And we can, I think, get a great sense of how that works out for you. And I love the fact that, like I said, not only, you know, in many ways, we became much more efficient. I think the thing that's interesting, you know, to me is, because you had mentioned it, you know, when you said, you know, a lot of times, and again, you know, we could call it old school attitude, whatever you want to say. But, you know, I loved how you had mentioned earlier, it's like sometimes we kind of live by the idea of, you know, part-time equals part-time approach and part-time attitude. And the fact is, obviously, that's been a, you know, it's shown itself to be completely the opposite as far as that goes. But I know, I want to ask you personally, how big a jump was this for you? Because again, I know a lot of times as business owners, most business owners are always, you know, kind of fighting that introspection for themselves about, am I doing the right things? Am I the right type of leader? Am I challenging myself in the right ways? Or any kind of questioning any number of things. You came back, kind of go back to the beginning of the story, came back, you know, you came back to something that said, hey, here's a challenge. I lost two people out of my company that were very important to my company, very important to you, I'm sure personally as well. And kind of on this journey, you know, as we kind of wrap up in the last few minutes that we have, I'm interested to know for you as a leader, what's that, again, knowing how deeply, especially you take that in kind of process and how you take things, what's been the learning experience for you from all of this? As you kind of look at it now in its bigger scope of it, what's been the one key thing for you that's stood out as a leader that you've learned in this journey?
Well, I mean, there's so much, but I will say this. I think this was something that came to me that really shifted my perspective. And that is, when we're facing challenges, are they here to hinder our progress or present growth opportunities? And, you know, again, I read a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to all kinds of things. I love learning. And, you know, I was listening, I think it was Jay Shetty, and I forget who he had on. Dave Asprey, I believe, the biohacking king. And they were saying, you know, just because we have this fame and recognition doesn't mean we don't have internal stuff in our companies that we've had to endure. We just don't talk about it. Whether it's, you know, chief financial officers that have stolen money, or, and each thing that they've gone through was not a setback. It was an opportunity for learning and growth. And I can already tell you that within a 4-month period, things are so much better, so much better. And even at the time, I told myself, there's not a yin without a yang. And so if we're going to suffer and we're going to be kind of low and sad as a leader, then my God, good times lay ahead. And that's awesome. So, yeah, just understanding that challenges are opportunities for growth. And our suffering really comes from when our expectation of reality isn't being met. And we really don't have that kind of control. So how about then we just stay open to lessons and surrender to the guidance and really open ourselves up to what it is we need to learn and how we need to grow.
I love it. Wafea, that advice goes for every business leader. It doesn't matter if it's beauty industry or anywhere else, and every parent and every friend and every human being. So really good share.
Awesome. Thank you. This has been awesome, Wafea. We got to keep doing this because every time we get a chance to talk, you always bring great insight and I think a great, just again, perspective on things, and just kind of always shoot it straight too to what's happening and don't sugarcoat things. And challenges are challenges, but here's how we overcome them. So I love what you had to share with us today. Christy, any last thoughts on your end?
No, but thank you, Wafea, for being vulnerable and allowing us to hear that, you know, the most successful businesses absolutely continue to work through challenges. And it's about how we internalize it and then make a change necessary for our business. So as always, amazing job. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you are welcome. And to everyone out there, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. And we will see you again on our next podcast. Have a great day.
Thanks again for listening to the Beauty Business Strategies podcast. If you like this episode, be sure to hit follow. And please share the episode link with anyone who you think could benefit from today's content. To learn more about how strategies can help create more fun, profit, and growth potential for you, your company, and your team, we invite you to schedule a free 60-minute strategy session by clicking the direct link in the description of this episode. There, you'll also find links to our wide array of coaching, seminar, and learning opportunities, all of which can be found at strategies.com.